Welcome to NIL. If you're starting from scratch, you're in the right place. I'm Quentin Irie.
And I'm James King. Oh, I'm going in that soon.
I thought you were doing your classic bit.
Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Are you ready? Oh, I'm always ready.
Is your mojo off?
No, my mojo's here, man. It's here to stay. This is the new and improved show intro. I'm not sure
that it's better right now.
It's been slimmed down, you know. We're leaning it up a little bit, taking out the fat, the extraneous.
It's really less than lean. Like, lean implies that, like, you lost a little bit of weight. This is more like we slashed off most of its body and left, like, the nose. You know?
Okay, sure. I was trying.
It's more violent.
Yeah. Oh, much more, dude. Speaking of, have you seen the new Batman trailer?
Yes.
Oh my
god. Isn't it badass,
dude? I was so shocked at it's just very dark and ambient, and I'm so here for it. I'm ready.
Have you seen Zodiac?
Yeah, I had to watch it for school actually.
It gave me major Zodiac vibes.
Yeah, I can see that. Kind of a modern Zodiac.
I don't know where this one is set. I have no idea. It kind of gave me kind of a retro feel.
Did it? Okay. Because the Batmobile looks a little 70s-ish, so I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I was going to say a bunch, but given the size of our audience, one or two comic book nerds that are going to let us know exactly. Yeah.
Apparently, it's pretty accurate to the comics. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's a good Batman for 2020. I'll say that much.
I'm just ready for the rest of the world to embrace Robert Pattinson as the wonderful actor he is.
I think that scene where he just beats the crap out of that guy pretty much sold most people. I've been seeing that all over the place.
Yeah.
Someone's like, that right there was Robert Pattinson punching the Twilight Saga out of everyone's minds.
I really, really, truly hope it's true.
He looks good in it, man. I'm ready. But where did that train of thought start? Because it was related to something.
Trimming up the intro. Yeah.
Trimming up the intro. I don't know if y'all heard, but I got 90,000 likes on TikTok, so I'm basically a big deal now.
Yeah.
So,
and also
Move out of the way, Hype House, or whatever those guys are doing over
there. Do we need to start our own TikTok house? Is that where this is going?
Oh geez.
Is that the plot twist no one saw coming?
The nil house. As one married dude and one 23-year-old.
Yeah. It would be you, me, and my family.
Perfect.
We don't even make that many TikToks. You're the only one that makes the TikToks.
Exploit your baby child, your baby son for likes. He's
look. He is adorable, man. We probably get something out of it.
Let's see. What else? What else do we need to hit in the intro?
You want a little bit of a throwback?
Yeah, man. Always.
So I've been doing warm-ups lately to kind of get in the mode before, or is it in the mode? In the mood? Whatever. To get ready.
In the mood.
To record. And, you know, it's always hard to figure out what to do, and you know, it's stupid and it sounds silly or whatever, but I think it legitimately helps. It warms up the vocal cords.
You're artificial amateurs?
That's exactly it. I did alphabet aerobics today.
Artificial amateurs, aren't it all amazing? Analytically, I assault animate things.
Dude, I still remember a lot of it. I think I made it through Q before I forgot how it went.
Wow, I never memorized that far. I got to the E or F, I think.
Yeah? You got to pick it back up, man. It's a really fun vocal warm-up.
Maybe we can do the whole thing all the way through once I get it memorized. That can be the intro.
Get on it. Yeah, just alphabet aerobics every time.
That'd be fun. I feel like people would enjoy two white guys trying to rap a little bit. It would be fun. It would be a good time. Let's see. What else? What else? What else?
What do you got for Roast Austin?
I'm hungry.
Roast Austin. You know, man, he got married, and so I didn't feel it was in the right spirit. I don't know. I'm kind of running out of ideas.
Come on.
What are you thinking? I don't know.
Well, what are we going to have to do? Do we need to have him on the show?
Oh, man, no, we can't have Austin on the show, dude.
What if we had him on the show and never addressed it?
I don't want him on the show, man.
You have some real bitterness. I feel like the direction this segment needs to go is you really, making up with Austin and figuring out what your relationship really is.
Hey, man, the ball's in his court at this point.
I want you all to notice this next cut and how it leaves you with no resolution. That is James's doing. Don't let him get away with it.
Let's see what else we hit all the important things, but so at this point y'all know the drill. I hope if you're new, then welcome. We are a monthly show. Basically, what happens here is Q and I are friends from high school, used to be debate partners, and we talk about different issues in our lives. Let's move the microphone away from my face as I'm gesturing. Basically, things that maybe have changed, events that have changed our thoughts on something, or have changed our opinion, formed a new idea, that type of thing. We kind of invite you to join us on that journey from scratch, from zero, from nil, and join us. I was almost starting to rap a verse there, man. Myself. My own alphabet.
Bars.
Aerobics.
Bars.
It's a quick.
Bars.
Bars.
Bars. Bars.
We invite you to join us on that. Basically, the way it works is one of us brings a topic the other has not yet heard, so we get honest and genuine reaction from our co-host. This week, Hugh is bringing our topic. I have an idea of what it is, but I don't know exactly, which is the whole point. So, I don't know. Lead us in.
How many of you have watched James on TikTok? I want to know. Also, here's the show or whatever.
This week's topic. James, why are you such a...
Oh, see, that is what I thought you were going to bring up. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Was it every time I pick up your calls and I say, "What's up?" Was that the...
Yeah,
the,
that would kind of tip me off.
Well, as you know, James, and anyone that follows us over on Instagram at 000 podcast knows
go
that
follow.
Yeah. That was implied. Come on.
You think it was too desperate? I'm like begging for likes.
Please follow. Please.
Hey, I just want enough clout, for lack of a better word, to drop out of school, man. That's all I'm waiting for. In the meantime, y'all are forcing me to finish my undergraduate and then go to business school at UT my master's.
I don't know if we can get you out of your undergraduate, but we might be able to save you from the master's. We've been getting some good traction lately. Can I loop us back around real quick? I apologize. Can I loop us back to the beginning?
Depends on to what?
Not to the very
beginning. Don't bring up Austin again.
I'm not bringing up Austin. I'm bringing up something much more important than Austin could ever be. Guess what?
What?
Franchise fatigue is coming back, baby. They're coming back.
They've risen from the ashes.
They've risen. They've done a couple mini episodes from what I've seen with just Gabe doing like...
Did we knock him out of commission?
Well, it looks like we got the other James completely gone for like, it seems like months at this point. I'm not totally sure. But so I want to point that out first and foremost to say you can't just sneak back in. You can't slither back in to the podcast game and think we wouldn't notice. Franchise fatigue, you And secondly, I just want to point something out, because like we talked about at the beginning, James, we've been experiencing a little bit of exponential growth. By the way, thank you to all of you for that, because it's just nice to see. And as a part of that, I just want to flex a little bit on our arch nemesis. James, let me know, what are our Instagram followers at right now?
We are, by the time this episode airs, right now we're at almost 600. We're about 597 or so. But I mean, by the time this airs, we'll be over 600.
All right. Can you give me just like, give me a shot in the dark? What are Franchise Fatigue's numbers at on Instagram? Followers.
Followers?
Yep.
And how long have they been doing the show?
A really freaking long time. Way longer than we have.
Okay. Franchise Fatigue, geez. I didn't even know they had an online presence.
That should be telling.
Man. Franchise Fatigue. Oh, geez. I don't know, man. 250.
135, baby.
135.
We got them trounced.
And I wonder, like, how many of those are, like, their own personal ones that we could subtract.
That's a good
question.
It's
probably closer to, like, 130.
I don't know that we want to play that game, because that could work against us, too.
Well, we only take two out for us, right?
Of people, like, our friends who follow our own page?
No, just, I mean, like, their own personal accounts. Like, they, you know, could make a bunch of fake ones to get more followers, that kind of thing. 135, man. 135.
So your argument... Because it went right over my head. So I just want to make it clear for anyone who missed it too. Your argument is that the only reason they even have that many followers is because they've created shell accounts, basically, to like their own page.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, great. I'm in favor.
Yeah. See, it's funny because they're not real followers.
I'm into it, man. I like it. So anyway, franchise fatigue, speak up one of these days. In the meantime, I guess we'll just keep winning over here. By the way, I don't know. We may or may not keep this in. If we do, I guess it'll be meta since I mentioned whether or not we'll keep it in. Ooh. But the my favorite thing about that particular roast is that, like, yeah, we do have significantly more followers than they do on Instagram. But even then, like, the numbers are just so small. It's like, it's such a weird flex. It's like 12-year-olds flexing on each other. Like, bro, my best biceps are bigger than yours, but they both look right. Like toothpicks, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How many times can you bench 55, bro? How many times can you put up 55?
Like, half a time, maybe. Yeah. if my daddy helped.
Yeah, the dad's pulling, like, 42 pounds. All you, son. Yeah. It's all you, son. Oh, jeez.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sidetrack. We're growing. But I didn't want to let that slide. We are.
Don't hate on the drip, man.
And the fact is, we are grateful for every single one of you who take the time to listen to us blather once a month.
That's absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. So what you know, James, and anyone who follows us on Instagram at @0000podcast knows is that our assigned reading, I guess, more like listening, for this episode was episode 1 of the 1619 podcast. Now, before we get into talking about it, I want to just tease the listeners. I want to tickle your ears a little bit.
Okay, by a little creepy
letting
now.
You know. I want to let you know that at the end of this segment, the body of this episode, I'm going to be unveiling a first in NIL history, and we're going to have a little mini conversation about it. I'm pretty excited. Hope you are too, so stick around. But first, 1619 podcast. You and I both listened to it. I've continued on beyond it. I think I'm on, like, episode 3 or 4. There's only 5 total, so
right.
It's not a huge commitment. There's a lot of reading materials that go along with it. I have those saved, but I haven't gotten to them yet. I'm prioritizing the podcast first because I like podcasts. It's a fun way for me to take them in. The reason that I mentioned it, and it was convenient timing, because who was the person that wrote in and asked us about the podcast, James?
I think that was Whitney Taylor.
Was that Whitney?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Whitney wrote in and asked us about it, and I had already kind of been wanting to check it out, so it was the perfect time to get into it and happened to perfectly segue into what I wanted to talk about and allow us to kind of frame this conversation. So a thing that's been huge for me, really for the last, I don't even know, man, like 5 years or so, has been like coming to grips with the holes in my education, not only when it comes to issues of race, but just in general, the things that I simply wasn't taught, and seeking out information for myself, basically, kind of figuring out what I think, which not only is very appropriate for this podcast, but I think is something that a lot of people do, you know, after high school, whether in college, out of college, whatever, is you have to reconcile and you have to reconcile with what you've been taught and really start to own your beliefs. It's not enough to say, well, this is what my parents always thought, so it's what I think, right? That it's just not a good way to live. Not that people
or even,
don't live
or
that
or
way.
Or even this is just what I learned, because we're both homeschooled, but even it, like on the other side of the coin, this is just what I was taught in school by my history teacher, which at the time, you know, is considered an authority by students.
Exactly. Definitely.
And they're not always right, because they have to teach whatever the state requires them to teach, mostly.
100%. So. And I think we need to take ownership of information and not be at the whims of whoever happens to be in our face when we're kids, right?
The whim.
The whim? You need to cut in that Stewie clip. That's what you were thinking, wasn't it?
Cool whip, yeah.
You mean cool whip?
Yeah, cool whip.
Cool whip.
Cool whip.
Cool whip.
Cool whip.
So yeah, I've been kind of in that process, and all in all, like, I've really enjoyed it. But it's been very interesting to exist in 2020 after the murder of George Floyd and see the way that conversation has really rocked, I was going to say a lot of people, really it's rocked America, I think it's safe to say. And the conversations that I've been able to have as a result of that have been wonderful. You and I have had conversations that are really, really good and I think need to happen. And it's allowing us to kind of have this entry point. And the 1619 project, it launched last year. It launched in 2019. But I think it's great that it's a resource that exists now when so many people for the first time are looking for resources. And so before I say anything, because, I think most people well, I was going to say most people know where I stand. I think a lot of people get an idea of where I stand from some of the stuff that I say on this podcast. But I want to get a feel for where you sit, and specifically just through the lens of the 16 and 19 podcast, and kind of get a feel for where we're at with this. With the caveat for everyone out there, whether you be many or whether you be few, that we are going to be discussing race here. We're going to try to do it as respectfully as possible. We fully recognize that we are two white guys in Texas, no less. Mostly white, I'm sorry. For a lot of this, we're not speaking about our own experiences here. And we're going to do our best to be cognizant of that, to be respectful. But we're also going to try to have an honest conversation about it. And I think that honesty is really important here. And so we would ask for your grace if we slip up and we make a mistake and we're not aware of it. But furthermore, I'm not just looking for you to be silent on it and not confront us over it. I'm just asking that you don't like yell at us on Twitter or anything. If there's something that irks you, or even just something that you're like, I think they see that wrong in whatever way, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, we would legitimately love to hear from you. So the best way to reach us is on our social media. We are at 000 Podcast everywhere. Consider this an open invitation. Reach out. Let us know what you're thinking. We would love to hear from you. And we offer our apologies in advance if we make idiots of ourselves. Do you think that's fair, right, James?
All opinions are in flux. Yes, I think that's fair.
So first things first, before we get into kind of where we stand on these issues, I was going to say it's going to be a minority of the episode, but really that's kind of what the whole show's about, so I won't lie.
Yeah.
But before we get into like how we feel about these things and our own experiences, I just want to talk about the podcast. What'd you think of the episode, James?
We're talking about, I thought you meant our podcast for a minute. I like our episode so far. Yeah. No, the 1619 Project. I enjoyed it. I thought it went by really quickly. I thought it was a very insightful, very succinct description, and I thought it was very timely as well. And so how old is that project?
So it launched on the anniversary of the first slaves being sold in colonial America, which was, I'm gonna butcher the date, so let me just find it.
Well, the reason I ask is it is older than George Floyd and the and yes. everything that's happened. Okay,
sure it launched in July of 2019, but the narrator will fact check me if I'm wrong on that.
Only 1 month off for whatever that's worth. From the New York Times, quote, the 1619 Project is an ongoing initiative from the New York Times Magazine that began in August 2019. The 400th anniversary of the beginning of American slavery, unquote.
Okay. Yeah, no, I just found that I found it super timely. Obviously, of course, everything that's happening now, again, I think we both agree this is some common ground. This is nothing new in our country. This type of racism has existed for a while. And it's just that we're getting national attention about it now, which is fantastic. But I just think it's really interesting that this project was around long before, relatively, I guess, long before the events of this year.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good. I thought it was very fair. I thought it was a very fair description. I think the host did a very good job not really making it about politics. It was very much about her personal experience and what she's encountered and the story of her family. And I thought it's a lot of it was hard to listen to, but I think it's something that's necessary. I think that everyone could benefit, especially right now. I think every American could benefit from listening to at least that first episode for sure.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And I like that you hit on what is really empathy, because that I think is what's so often missing in these conversations is a true empathy for what other people are going through. Like so many of these conversations boil back down to like, oh, well, I don't see it in my life, or I don't know anyone who would do that, so I don't get why it's a problem. And it's like, I'm great that's not a problem for you. That's wonderful. I'm happy for you. But when we're talking about a cultural issue, that doesn't change the reality for so many people. And it's important that we recognize that and we act accordingly.
Right. And so all trauma is significant is what I've heard. That's more of something I learned in terms of processing a lot of issues in my life, not related to race at all, but I think it's something that's applicable.
Because it's universal.
Yeah, everyone's experiences are sacred, and there's something that you can't tell them they didn't experience.
And that actually goes perfectly to like how I came to a lot of this stuff and why I think from talking to a lot of my peers and a lot of the circles that we run in, I was further along in this thought process by the time everything with George Floyd happened, because I had my exposure and my learning for most of my life has very much centered around art and artistic experience. And because I like to take in as much art as I possibly can, I naturally went to, you know, things outside of my own experience, right? I wasn't just watching Hollywood movies or anything like that. I was seeking out, you know, Japanese film. I like discovering Japanese film was one of my most cherished memories. Like that was a great day. And that principle goes everywhere, whether it's people talking about their experiences in America in, you know, lower budget projects, if we're talking about books, if we're talking about podcasts, like all these different ways that people can express themselves. And art is an inherently empathetic medium. So at an early age, I was unconsciously seeking out empathy for these people that, and this is not exclusive to race at all, but race is definitely a part of it, that have experiences that are often discredited and put down as if they're not valid, and as if they're even, like, some people go so far as to say not real. And that, so the more that I took that in and analyzed it and understood it and did the research to back it up, the more it kind of built and built until it became this overarching philosophy. Like, even, you know, you talk about the 1619 Project feeling very prescient in terms of what we need right now. It is crazy seeking out Black art from, like, any time period, really. You can go as little as 5 or 10 years back and as much as, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, just within our recent history. And so much of what's being discussed feels like they're addressing this moment right now. And what that says to me is that this is an issue that is long running, that has existed. George Floyd is not the creation of a problem. It's not a one-off event. It's an example of something that has existed and just gone unaddressed by people like us who don't have to deal with it on a day-to-day basis and who are surrounded by a lot of people who would like to say that it doesn't exist. And so when all of a sudden it's unavoidable, like there's a video of it, it's there, there's nowhere for you to hide from that harsh, harsh reality. A lot of people are being forced to reconcile with it in a way that they weren't before. And I think that what the 1619 Project offers can be found in art as well. But like I said, I'm really glad that there's something as information dense, but still accessible and really creatively done that people can kind of fall back on.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Is that your thought on it?
That's my response. Well, you didn't. I mean, that pretty much sums up kind of what she described. I thought it was very, very appropriate. But yeah, no, I mean, that thing is that podcast could have just as well been released, you know, a week ago, and it would be no less poignant, I guess, than it was when it was created a year ago.
So tell me this, as we're talking about like education and, you know, the things that we weren't taught growing up, for whatever reason, a lot of it not malicious, subconscious, and very much just kind of baked into the way our culture works, unfortunately. Well, give me a couple examples of the things that she brought up that you had no idea about.
I mean, I think the common one for you and I was would have been Lincoln and his sort of attitude.
That was crazy.
I mean, he's kind of treated in a historical lens as sort of an equal rights, equal opportunity, I guess, social justice warrior, for lack of a better term, someone that wanted us all to be, you know, sitting at the same table, and earning the same wage. And that the reality is just not the case. And again, you know, when we look back at history, there's obviously a lot of things that could have been done better. Obviously, at the outset, when we declared our independence, it would have been great for everyone and every race to have equal rights, like it said in the document.
Yeah, the inherent contradiction.
Right. It would have been great to have those, but the reality was that just didn't happen. But what we did do is we accomplished a freedom from a tyrannical British rule that then allowed us to unlock other areas
like it's
of freedom.
A video game.
You have unlocked a new freedom, a new right. I mean, the irony is that all those are God-given rights, and that's kind of the whole thing that it falls back on, is that the government is not the one that gives you these rights or creates these rights. All the government does is try to secure those rights for you, which they did a very fallible job at doing. But the bottom line is how I was trying to tie that in is that obviously while Lincoln wasn't perfect and he could have done a lot more, he kind of did the best with what he could, I guess, at the time in terms of the climate and the culture. And what he did do was put an end to slavery, which I think for you and I, being that's another big area of common ground, we can both agree that was a good thing. Unequivocally. Yes. Was it the end of the story? No. Was there much, much, much more that needed to be done? Absolutely. Was it still a huge step in the right direction? Also, yes. So I would say, in order to answer your question very roundabout way, I would say that was a big one, was my perception of Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how we're taught about him and the actual reality, which is recorded. You know, these are real conversations that he had. And the reality is he wasn't the person that we're really taught to think that he was.
Yeah. No, and I think there's a larger point there that bears relevance. Like, there's some little stuff in what you said that I might like pick at and have differences in, but I think the major thing that is essential, and what I'm trying to do right now, to be clear, is like find where we agree. Because, I mean, you and I in general, as anyone who listens to this podcast on a regular basis know, we generally tend to see things the same way. But, I mean, because this topic is so difficult, it's one where even you and I have differences. So what I'm trying to do here, and what I think is important in these conversations, and I'm trying to find a way to model, not to say that, like, I know how to do it, y'all do what I'm doing, but, like, I'm trying to figure this out for myself. If it's helpful for you too, that's great, but this is a therapeutic exercise for us. But is to find where we agree and expand from there. Because I think in these conversations, I know my habit and the habit that I've observed is that we leap on the areas of disagreement, right? And like I said, like in what you just said, I could leap on those areas of disagreement. I could be like, well, I mean, not really that, right? Or blah, 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 blah. And we could go off on rabbit trails forever. But there is a central point of agreement that expands out to a worldview that we can both embrace. And that's exactly what you were saying at the end there, that we need a more thorough and in-depth understanding of our history and where we come from. So to be clear on like the Abe Lincoln example, first of all, if you haven't listened to this episode, I'm sure you're confused. If you haven't listened to the episode of 1619, that is, go like pause us for a second and go listen to it. It's like a 30-minute episode. But as a recap for everyone, the specific historical fact that we're talking about is that when Abraham Lincoln was originally considering freeing the slaves in the South, it was because the Union was on the ropes. They needed something. He came up with the solution. And so, I mean, right off the bat, you're already kind of confronting a lot of the narrative around it that, you know, Abraham Lincoln was this benevolent leader that all he really wanted was freedom for these people. But furthermore, his original idea that he pitched to black leaders in D.C. was to free the slaves in the South, have them fight and help him win the war, and then ship them off to another country. And I specifically say another country because at this point, after generations of slavery, these people didn't have a firm grasp on where they were from, where they came from, where their point of origin was. So it wasn't like, we'll send you back home at long last. It was, we will take you up and we will drop you somewhere else.
Anywhere but here.
Someone else's problem. Exactly. And he said that and he pitched this plan fundamentally because, as he explicitly said, it's not a matter of interpretation, he believed that there was no place for black people and a democracy that was fundamentally built by and for white people.
It hurts, man. It's so fucked up.
It does. It is fucked up. Like, that's the nicest way we could even say it. Like, it's rotten to its core. And a hard thing for me in that, because I do want to pursue this balanced approach of history, right? So, like, I'm with you when you say progress of any kind is good. I'm glad it happened. I wish it was more. It's better than nothing being done. That being said, I do think that I put more of a responsibility on our leaders at any point in history. I mean, like we said, this is the issue with race in America is long fought, even up to the present day. So when I'm talking about our leaders, I'm not just talking about our founders. I'm not just talking about Lincoln or anyone else. This is all throughout our history. I do think that there is some measure of responsibility that needs to be accounted for beyond it was the culture of the time or anything like that. Like, another thing that's addressed in this episode is that the British, I had never learned about this. The British, when there was talk of revolution and a declaration and all this stuff, they were calling out the hypocrisy. They were saying, you're going to tell us that all men are imbued with some inalienable rights as you own slaves. That's what you're going to do. And they were right. Like, there is a fundamental hypocrisy within it, and it was not unknown. It's not as if everyone owned slaves. As a matter of fact, it was mostly the wealthy. So there's a minority of the population, a rich minority, and not at all insignificant minority, but it's all the same, a minority that owns slaves and is wreaking out this havoc.
Slave owners made up anywhere from 25% to 32% of white families in the South, depending on the time period.
And, like, there is firm and documented opposition throughout this time period. It's not as if they couldn't have known any better. You know what I'm saying? And some of that, like, it's probably not going to be the only time the narrator jumps in, because, like, the stats on, like, how many people own slaves, I'll probably Google that to double check, because I just want to make sure that I'm getting all this right. But regardless, the point is that there is some level of responsibility, no matter at what point in history you are with this.
Well, and Lincoln, even as a Christian, should have known better than to say that.
Yeah, I mean, a majority of these men claim to be a Christian, right?
Of who are you talking about? Of,
like,
the founders?
Like, early leaders, the founders, all that stuff.
Sure, I guess so, yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of them were just deists. They weren't necessarily
Christian, but still. Yeah, at least didn't deny the existence of God, yeah. I suppose.
And that's, I mean, as you know, that's something that's very frustrating for me as a Christian, is how much Christians are directly the perpetrators of this kind of violence.
Or if not the perpetrators, not as, yeah, I'm trying to think of how I can say this.
Have you ever had a dream that you could do so?
I think you're trying to say that they, well, even if they were not perpetrators,
they weren't antagonists, which they should have been.
Exactly, they allowed it to happen. They were not vocally against it as much as they should have been.
I don't know that necessarily a majority of them were perpetrators per se, unless your contention is that just a lot of these people in the past were Christians, and therefore by that nature or by that virtue, a lot of them.
I mean, I do think that, like, a majority of slave owners claim to be people of faith, because you have to remember how much being a person of faith was prevalent at the time. Like, that was the norm.
Well, so, regardless, yeah, and regardless of who that was, the issue is, as a broader picture, going back to kind of our common ground here, the broader picture is the church should have had a major role, an historical role, that we could today still point back to and say, you know, people like Wilberforce, right? We can point to them and say he was the one who ended the slave trade in wait, when was that? Was that in Britain? Was that in England?
I don't know. Do you want me to look
England
it up, or do you want
slaves?
The narrator to jump in?
I don't know. That changes a lot of stuff, because if they were going to call us out for hypocrisy and they still had a slave trade, that's a whole other story.
Britain outlawed the British Atlantic slave trade in 1807 and signed the Abolition of Slavery Act in 1833.
But I do know that at some point, after America is fully independent and benefiting off the slave trade, that's not even a large part, it's a massive part of what made us so economically prosperous initially. There was there was this hypocrisy from countries that had outlawed it, like Britain, who, while they did not own slaves themselves, they invested in the American slave trade. So there was foreign money
so they were being still poured into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just curious in the timeline of when all that happened with him. But anyway, the bigger point being, we can point back to individuals like that in history, right? That we were like, okay, great. These are shining examples of people that helped put an end to this. But nowhere in there can we can point to maybe Christian figures, but we can't anywhere point to the church having a role, at least that I'm aware of. And again, people can correct us, but the problem is I can't think of one, right? So regardless of whether or not one exists, the bigger issue is I've never even been taught of one, which is pretty sad when you think about that's nowhere taught in the Bible. I mean, we're all created in the image of God, regardless of race, gender, et cetera. So it's wrong. I mean, biblically, you can't justify it. So it's just kind of sad that we didn't see a bigger role from our Christians of the past or church of the past, I guess.
Definitely. And that kind of goes perfectly into the next part of this podcast, which was talking about Black people as kind of the perfecters of our democracy, which was something that I hadn't, again, thought much about because it's a part of history that was always overlooked for me. But to think about the fact that, again, when the Constitution is written, there is a fundamental contradiction at its core. It cannot be honestly and truly called a democracy because not everyone is allowed to vote, right? So understanding that and then thinking about, well, then when did that happen, right? And, you know, we can get into the modern context of voter suppression and whatnot, but when, like, legally was that resolved? And to see the roots of it, we go to the Civil Rights Movement, right? We start talking about
13th Amendment, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm talking like broadly, but like, you know, you specifically talk about the right to vote and all of this when we're actually acknowledging the fact that, hey, non-white people are human. Let's agree on that as a baseline, maybe. Like this, all this movement, it happens because of Black leaders and people that are fighting for change and fighting for an honest look at our democracy. And the thing that I appreciated about this episode in relation to this idea is that, you know, so often in the popular discussion when we're talking about people fighting for civil rights then and now, it's painted as if because these people are criticizing America that they hate America and they don't appreciate it and they want it to burn or whatever, you know, nonsense rhetoric is out there. But the reality is that these are the people that are fighting for America harder than anyone else. And at the same time, remarkably, with more reason to hate America than anyone else. And yet they embrace it. They take ownership of it and they fight for it to be better. And that is kind of incredible to me. Like the personal through line in this episode, talking about her kind of taking ownership of America as a kid in school and like saying, this is my country, this is who I am, I can wave this flag proudly, and I can, you know, continue to fight the fight that my father and his father and my ancestors have fought, is like, I mean, that's more patriotic than I have ever been, you know.
I agree. I mean, that's the whole reason why we have the amendment process. So, I mean, we're should always be pushing for reform, for change, for a better country. You know, that doesn't mean you hate the one you live in now, but there's things that need to be fixed. So,
and there always will be. Like, we're not.
And there always will be.
Exactly. Like, I love that because it's not. It doesn't mean you hate it because you want to make it better. If anything, it's the opposite. If you're fighting for change, you probably have a connection to the thing.
Yeah, for sure. That's that's why we have that's why we have legislatures and courts, and bottom line is that's why we have our lawmakers, and that's why there was provided an amendment process within the Constitution so we can make big changes like this. And we will always have to. So there are things to fix, and that shouldn't be associated with you hating. And sure, there are people that hate this country that live here. That's obviously a fact. But the thing is that those are a minority, at least I think.
I don't think there's significant evidence that would be a significant population, honestly.
Right. I think most people here want to fight for a better America. And I think that should
and
be
that's
encouraged.
A good thing. Exactly. We shouldn't be shutting that down. I think honestly, the people that are shutting down those conversations in the name of America are the most un-American ones involved in the conversation.
Well, that isn't even right. That goes against everything we were built on.
And that's what's so frustrating about it, is that we need to have these conversations so desperately, and we need to listen to people with perspectives that are not our own, and understand that those perspectives and your experience can coexist. Like that, the fact that you had two different experiences doesn't mean that one has to be true and one has to be false. They can both exist at the same time. That's a fact.
Sure. Not mutually exclusive.
Indeed. Indeed. No, that's good. I feel like in the process of talking about the episode, we got to kind of where we're at with things, which is good. And more than anything, you know, we're not getting into a lot of the more specific issues, because there's a broader, like I said, agreement that I want to focus on.
We're letting this slide today.
We'll fight another time. But that segues me perfectly to the bit of nil history that I teased at the beginning, teased so nicely.
Oh my God.
Is that this is the first time in our existence as a podcast that we have recorded an episode that will never see the light of day.
Yes, that is, that thing is, that thing is sealed. You gotta pay
it's
good
locked
money.
Locked tight. but yeah, so the context, for those of you just on the edges of your seat, the context is that we did this episode once already. And I mean, obviously part of the nature of the show is that at least one of us doesn't know where it's going to go. Right. Which is super hard with a conversation like this.
Right. But it's what makes us unique.
Exactly. And I think for the vast majority of the episode, well, at least what was the normal episode, we were pretty much, you know, we hit a lot of the same beats. It was slightly different. It wasn't nearly as focused on the podcast, on the 1619 podcast, as this one was. We kind of used that much more as a framework here, intentionally so. But then we found very serious areas that I have no interest in bringing up here, not because I think we'll fight about it, but because it's not important what they were for the sake of what I want to talk about. And we had to hash some stuff out. We ended up recording for, what, like 3.5 hours?
It was a long time.
Which is saying something, because we started recording at midnight. So,
wait, was it that late? Maybe that's what it was.
We did not start recording until midnight, and then we went for like 3.5. We had recorded about 90 minutes of a normal podcast, and then I hit you with one particular question at the end, and that ballooned us off into a whole bunch of other stuff.
And it was a good time.
It was. And so that's what I want to bring up, is that at the end of the day, we made the decision together to not release the podcast, and that decision is what it is, right?
Right.
But the reason that I bring it up, and the reason that I'm not just letting it disappear and like we never mention it, is because what happened there, I think, is really important, which is that unlike here, where we're where we're doing our best to focus on where we agree and let that inform our mutual philosophy, we allowed ourselves to disagree there and really get into the nitty-gritty of these beliefs. And I think that process is incredibly important. And I'm glad that you and I had that. And I want that for our listeners too. So I want to encourage you to seek that out, seek out that conversation. I hope it can be as productive for you as it was for me and James. And at the end
I was about to say, don't let your friendship be over. But then again, if depending on what they disagree with you on, maybe it's best to go your separate ways.
It is possible. It is possible. But understand that it's okay to disagree and to vocalize that you disagree. Don't stand by, because I have done this. I think you have too. Where so often when I come across someone in my personal life who has more problematic, we'll say, perspectives on these things, I just kind of let it slide. I'm like, you know what? You think what you
think. For a multitude of reasons. Yeah, sure.
But a large portion of that is just, like, social angst. Like, I just don't want to deal with it. And I know it's going to be awkward, and I don't want to. And I'm not saying that, like, every situation where someone is saying something is the right time to have that conversation.
Yeah, sometimes the crackhead outside the gas station.
Yeah.
with the sign getting in your face. That's probably not the best place to
the wise man remains silent, right? And so that's an important thing. But what I've come to, and where I think you're at, is that we do need to have these conversations, whether we're bringing them up or we're interacting with someone who's brought up the topic. And don't be afraid to disagree. At the end of the day, our episode, you know, besides being a pain in the ass to edit, is really brutally real in a way that is really personal and therefore hard to release. And it's funny to say that because we're already a pretty painfully honest show.
Yeah, didn't we talk about, like, I literally brought up virginity in the last episode.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really hold anything back. But in this case, we found ourselves with a subject that is so volatile that it may have been less productive to release it because of the reactions we may or may not have gotten. So we decided to play it safe and do a version of that show that allowed us to get to the bigger points, which is where we are now. And understanding that, well, it wasn't right between the two of us to release that because of the possible negativity that could have come from it, which would have hampered the overall message. Neither of us regrets having that conversation because it was so important. And it is for you to have those conversations, seek them out, and have hard conversations. Like, it is, I can't stress enough just how important it is and how much it will change the way that you think if you allow yourself to be challenged and also allow yourself to challenge other people on things that they might not have ever thought twice about.
The irony is, you know, having those hard conversations from the beginning would have avoided something that boiled over to this point, right?
Yeah.
So because we were afraid, I guess, for lack of a better term, to have, I mean, yeah, sure, we were fine about having these polarized, divided conversations where we yelled at other people that disagree with us, but we never really got to a point as a country where we were ready to have productive conversations. And yes, they are hard, but while they are difficult, it still would have been more productive than allowing it to get to this point where we're now forced to have these conversations. And if we don't now, it will happen again. History repeats itself, unfortunately. So
exactly. And we need to make sure that we're brutally honest. We don't hide behind social fear or stigma or compromise for the sake of you know, peace. That's really a sham because
not everyone's allowed to have peace.
I mean, right. You know, the three-fifths compromise, it's in the name. It was a compromise that allowed pure dark evil to thrive in a country that we so desperately want to be good, you know? You got any final thoughts for us, my man?
No, I think we hit all the main points.
Did we solve racism? Did we do it? Is it solved? Is it over?
You know what? We're 1 hour closer, I guess, right? 55 minutes closer.
One step at a time. Yeah, no, that's good. I think the only thing that I would finish with is just what I said at the beginning, which is if you have a perspective that is different from ours, or you feel like you could contribute to our understanding in some way, we sincerely, genuinely ask that you would let us know about it. We would love to hear from you. And we want our experiences broadened. We want to understand better. I think it would be really cool to revisit this topic with one of our Black friends who could bring a perspective to it that is not ours. And, you know, like, at the end of the day, it is a show about us. So, like, I'm not trying to say that our perspectives mean nothing, because it's important for people like us to reconcile with this stuff, right? We need to be having these conversations. But at the same time, I would love to amplify in whatever small way we can
additional insight. And,
yeah, exactly. Let them kind of enlighten us in whatever way they see fit to do so.
I think that would be very productive.
It's nice to be a disembodied voice with no malice for anyone.
Yeah, let's see. So we hit all our main points. Hit Roast Austin. Jeez, what else do we need to discuss? Go follow the show at 000 Podcast, all platforms. I think you already said that.
Yeah.
You can go follow me on TikTok if you want to make me...
Whoa, TikTok star.
If you want to make me famous here, Mr. 1500 followers.
Whoa.
Almost dropout time, bro. James EK underscore, I think my username is, James King. You can probably find it from the... from my Instagram or whatever.
That's dope. And it'll be linked in the show notes so people can check it out there. And if you want to see what I'm up to, you can check out quintinirie.com. See all my various projects. My social media is linked up there too. I just started using Letterboxd. Do you know what Letterboxd is, James?
Is that like a I don't know, is that like MailChimp?
No.
that's what I would guess right off the top of my head.
Letterboxd is like, it's like Goodreads but for movies.
Ah, very different.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all like MailChimp.
No.
But I've been using that lately to kind of log my films, and every once in a while when the inspiration strikes me, I don't really like writing reviews, so if a specific film inspires me, I'll write a little haiku about it, and it's over on my Letterboxd. So check it out. It's linked at quintinirie.com.
Blow us up, guys. So we can all Please. Quit our jobs.
That's all we want.
That's all we
I
want.
Actually like my job, not going to lie.
Hey, well, that's the thing. I need to be free to pursue a job that I would actually like to have.
Hey, man. So, I would love that.
Financial freedom, bro.
You need to like become my manager or something. We need to find a way to make that work.
Well, we need followers to do that. So
this is true. Fuck franchise fatigue.
As always.
Austin, you're going to have a grand finale for us on Roast Austin. I'm still not sold that it's not going to have to end with him coming on the show, so you need to come up with something better than that.
Dude, I will quit. I will quit the show.
I don't believe you.
If you bring him on here, I will quit.
So that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. It means the world to us. I know everyone says that, but it's really legitimate from us. We love to do this, and we're grateful that any number of you would listen and come along for the journey. Until next month, when James brings whatever shitty topic he has planned.
Good night, little smiley 21.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night. And God bless America.